From Matthew chapter 4, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we are still standing, I'd like to read the remainder of the portion of our passage this day from Matthew chapter 4. Please grant this a sincere hearing. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing, bore out our ears so that we may hear your voice, and enliven the members of our body so that we may be ready servants for you to the glory of your name. And now, finally, Lord, allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. We pray all of this through Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. We've all changed over the years, and we're all still changing. When I was a young man, there's a lot of changing that I still have before me. When I was a young man, I can remember times my father or mother would come to me, sometimes separately, sometimes together, and they'd say, "Son, you need to stop that. You need to change. Quit it. You need to behave differently. You need to be different because you're revealing your heart. You need a new heart. You need to change." Many of you can relate to this. Think back over your lives. However old you are, consider your changes. Consider the transitions in your life. Consider the ones going on right now. And then lift your gaze to the future, and you know that there's still changes yet to come. Our life with Christ is a life of changes. And in our passage, and at that time, change was needed, and a change was occurring. Many changes were occurring. You can see the outline in your order of worship. I'd like to give you a summary right now. Our passage is loaded with changes. As a matter of fact, you could take a look at Matthew chapter 4 and just call it a chapter of changes. Here's one. The chapter opens with Jesus being led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil, and Jesus was faithful in all of those temptations. He took the place of his people, went out into the wilderness, and was faithful in the face of temptations. That's different. That's different from what we've seen in the past. Failures in temptation. But here's a summary. Immediately after those temptations, we're going to find Jesus beginning his public ministry, and the first change or the first transition that's going to occur is going to be a transition from John to Jesus. John's message and Jesus' message is the same. It's about the kingdom and it's about repentance, but their message can be summarized with another transition. It's a transition from darkness to light. By the way, that's when that passage from Isaiah is quoted that mentions Zebulun and Naphtali. They are located by the sea. Prior to that, in the transition from John to Jesus, there's a mention of Jesus going to live by the sea. That's curious. Well, the third transition that you're going to see in this passage is that Jesus is going to call four disciples. And he does so while he's walking by the sea. And the last transition is found when Jesus goes through all of Galilee into various synagogues, and he's preaching and he's teaching and he's healing. All kinds of things are a mess, and all of those things are being put right. There are a number of transitions going on from people that want things to change. They are afflicted in all kinds of ways, and Jesus heals every one of them. You could call that a transition from death to life. So Matthew chapter 4. It's a passage of transitions, and Jesus is not kidding around. You belong to Jesus? Our Lord is not kidding around. This before us is a time of change, and it is a pervasive change. Everything is affected. Transitions are happening all over the place. All over the place, and we're going to call them kingdom transitions. So let's take a look at these four transitions right now, one at a time. Transition number one. Ready? It's the transition from John to Jesus. John has been arrested, and he's on his way to prison. Word of this arrest makes it to Jesus. John is now off the scene. The preparation work, the voice of the preparer, is now silent. The preparation work is finished. The kingdom is at hand. The next prophet enters. We've gone from Elijah to Elisha. Remember, John the Baptist was the Elijah who was to come. We go from one messenger to the next messenger. And the next messenger is right before us, front and center. The next prophet, Jesus, is the greater prophet, the one with the double portion of the Spirit who will do greater works. Remember, the days of Elijah and Elisha were days of rebellion and apostasy. The first transition is from John to Jesus. Their message is the same. Said the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right here. There's a lesson in that. The messengers may change, but the message does not. The messengers may change, but the message does not. Since this is a passage about transition, it's interesting to note that the message is one of transition. The message begins with repent. Change, stop, quit it. You need to change, you need to repent. You could call repentance this: not your agenda. It's not your agenda. Quit that, go here. Jesus hears about John's arrest, and he heads to Capernaum. And verse 13 says, he leaves Nazareth, and he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea. By the sea. For the rest of our way through the Gospel of Matthew, we are going to hear quite a bit about the sea and quite a bit about water. More on that in just a moment. Here Jesus changes locations. He has moved. He is now in the regions allocated to two of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. And where were they? They were up in the northern portion of the territory. That's important to note. Take note of that. Verse 14. All of this moving to Zebulun and Naphtali, going to live there, was to fulfill what Isaiah said. And there's that Isaiah 9 passage that's quoted. We know the passage quite well. That's the passage about a child being born and a son being given. But that's not what Matthew focuses on here. Matthew says, Jesus begins his ministry. He hears John's been arrested. Jesus goes forward and changes locations, moves to another place. Zebulun, Naphtali, down by the sea. This is to fulfill what Isaiah said. That's curious. Isaiah is speaking about something, and Matthew picks it up and says, something is interesting about those places. Yes, he is the child born, he is the son given, but there's something about those places. Let's take a look at how all of this fits together. And I'm going to give you 3 points so that you can understand what... This is wondrous, by the way. This is phenomenal. Help you understand this. First of all, remember that after the reign of Solomon, the kingdom was split. After the reign of Solomon, the kingdom was divided. There was Israel in the north and Judah in the south. This was to reflect the king's divided loyalties, the king's divided heart. It would only be years later when David's son and David's Lord, not Solomon, but Jesus comes, who's unified of purpose, that he unifies the people because he is of one. Well, the first thing you need to remember is that after the reign of Solomon, the kingdom was divided. Israel in the north and Judah in the south. The next thing you need to know is the northern kingdom, Israel, was overtaken first. They were swept away into exile, into captivity by the Assyrians approximately 140 years before Judah in the south was swept away. All of this is going to make sense, okay? Israel in the north first, Judah in the south later. Stop right there before we get to the third point. Remember something. It was during those days when Israel and Judah were still present but divided that you found the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. That's when they got on the scene and were prophesying during times of rebellion and apostasy. Now, number three. What does all of this have to do with Zebulun and Naphtali? When the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria, the armies of Tiglath-Pileser started where? They started in the north. They started and first entered into the region of Galilee. They entered into Naphtali. And I'm going to read to you from 2 Kings chapter 15 right now. This is verse 29. Listen. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel in the north, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and captured Ijon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, Hazor, Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali. And he carried the people captive to Assyria. You know your biblical history. Because of rebellion, because of embraced sin, because of a refusal to repent, a refusal to change the agenda, the people of God were taken into captivity. They had a change of address. They were swept away into exile. That's where it started first. So now when Jesus begins his ministry, if he's going to be the end of exile, the conclusion of the captivity, where is he going to begin? He's going to begin by the sea, in Zebulun and Naphtali. This is a statement that Jesus is the end of exile. That's where it all began. I'm going to go there first. All of this was to fulfill what Isaiah the prophet had said. Okay? That's the first transition from John to Jesus. And by the way, in that you see the second transition. Their message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right here. But what they said was there's a transition from darkness to light. Darkness, that's the second transition. And it's actually a theme. Verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness, what did they see? They saw a great light. They were dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, and upon them a light has dawned. It's just starting. You want to know how Isaiah 9 began? We just heard it in our Old Testament reading. I'm going to read it again. Listen. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made it glorious by the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, Galilee of the nations. That's fascinating. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 is saying it's going to go from gloomy to glorious, from darkness to light. And by the way, everyone in here can relate to this. You've experienced this. You can see this easily. Any time that there is a change or a transition from misery to joy, you could call it from darkness to light. And you have. Any time that there's a change from being in exile to going back home, that's from darkness to light. How about from illness to health? Have you ever been deeply ill and then all of a sudden come to strong health? Wow. Those are days of darkness, and all of a sudden there's great light. How about from sadness to joy? All of that, you could say, is going from darkness to light. Any time that there is newness or renewal, we can see a change from darkness to light. By the way, we should not be surprised that in the history of the church, part of the celebration of the Protestant Reformation is this: after darkness, light, or from darkness, light. Right at the beginning of the church year, at the church's season of Advent, the very first part of the church year, that rightly takes this Isaiah 9 passage and says, you know, those who dwell in darkness, they've seen a great light. The incarnation of Jesus is a time of light. The church year begins with light. It's not uncommon, furthermore, for some churches and some traditions to have what is called a tenebrae service, which means a service of darkness or a service of shadows on Good Friday, which is to be followed by the bright light of Easter. Some churches practice that to show this gospel contrast. Your own growth in the Lord. And I know many of you well enough to know that as you've grown in the Lord, you would say, it's like the lights came on. When I first met Jesus, it was like I was once blind, but now I see. Oh, the lights, both headlights came on. And as you're growing in the Lord, wow, it's great, I can see. Your understanding in the Lord is likened unto going from darkness to being enlightened. By the way, many of you know that I've had the privilege of going to many of the Texas prisons. And I'm going to give you an example of this. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice, each time I walk into one of those prisons, you hear the clang. You can, when they allow me to even pull the gates on the sally port closed, just the weight of the gates, and then the razor wire overhead. So you go from this gate, and you wait at another gate. And once they open that and you close that, and then you're in another yard, and then there are more gates with another sally port between gate and gate. You're walking into a dark place. Walking into a dark place. And I'm always astonished by the light of the Lord in dark places. Whenever the gospel takes root, you know what you find? You find the light shining in a dark place.